Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 149, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. And then Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. All of Psalms 149 and Psalm 150. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful book of Psalms. Thank you for the wonderful book we call the written word of God, the Bible. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, for us to spend time one-on-one with you every day as we simply open your word and read and meditate and think on the wisdom, the counsel, the grace, the power that permeates your word. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with your word more and more. Help us as individual believers to grow in our love for you and our love for your word. Help us as men and women of God to grow in that way. Help us as fathers and mothers to grow in this regard. Help us as boys and girls to grow in this regard. And more, Lord, help us to be wise enough to fill our world with your word. We thank you and we praise you for the wonderful gift that it is. And Lord, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your peace, your life, and your loving kindness. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Father, thank you so much that we get to sit here and pursue you. Father, thank you for all of our listeners. And Father, I ask that you'd help us to come to you with one heart, with one mind, with one accord, that we'd come united in prayer, that we'd come united seeking your face, that we'd come united seeking to grow in your kingdom and bring your kingdom here. Thank you so much, Father, for growing us in authority and in servitude as we serve your plans and your ways. Father, thank you so much for growing us in maturity as we walk more in your ways and seek to love others more. I just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to invite all of our listeners. You know, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments Project, which is an ongoing discipleship project that we have here at American Family Radio, a youth discipleship project. Keep in mind there are some aspects of it that are going on all the time. One, of course, is if you're young, if your child, grandchild, or a young person you know simply memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them by memory to you, you can contact us. Let me share with the number once again, 662-844-5036, my extension 381. Again, 662-844-5036, extension 381. Contact us, give us the person's size and a mailing address. And if you want us to mail it to you so you can present it to them, great, that's fine. Or if you want to give their mailing address so we can send it directly to them, whichever you prefer. But it's one more way to help plant the powerful, eternal Word of God in the hearts and the minds of our children And remember, there's nothing our children need more than the powerful Word of God. And if you're wanting to help your kids to get more involved in the Ten Commandments Project, email us. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you more information about that. The speech challenge portion runs from June 1st through the 30th. And for more information about how to get your child or grandchild or the young person you're working with, if you want more information about how to help them get plugged in, again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you. I want to take time to specifically share an article, as we often do. Remember, this is a tool that we're encouraging you to email us to get a copy of it as a tool for your own personal spiritual growth and discipleship, a tool also that you can use in the discipling of your family, and a tool you can share by way of forwarding it by way of email to family, friends, fellow church members, co-workers, saved or unsaved individuals as well. The title of this article is "The Tragedy of Prayerlessness." And of course, one of the goals behind the message of this article is to encourage you in your prayer life and hopefully encourage you to pray that God would set your prayer life on fire. Again, the title of the article, "The Tragedy of Prayerlessness." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. And I will continue to teach you what is good and right. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. I'm going to read that again. It says, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. And I will continue to teach you what is good and right. Again, 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. And then James chapter 4, verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. Prayer is talking and listening to God. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is worshiping and praising God. Prayer is giving thanks to God. Prayer is all of these activities and more. We need to broaden and expand our definition and understanding of prayer and what it truly is. It can be said that prayer is our intimate walk with God. No one prayed more than the Lord Jesus did. His whole life was a prayer. We're called to imitate Christ, so like Christ, we should strive to live so that our whole life is prayer, our intimate walk with God. Prayer is to be a major priority for the church. Individually and collectively, we're to live lives given to prayer. The church itself is called to be a house of prayer. How tragic it is when we fall short in our calling and obligation to pray and to be a people of prayer. When we don't pray as we should, we miss blessings that God very much wanted us to have. Did you or I miss one or more blessings today because we didn't pray for certain things? Again, James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Reading that again, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez received some unique blessings from the Lord. He made four requests from the Lord, and God gave him all four requests. Why? Jabez was wise enough to ask for them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 tell us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Sometimes help or deliverance may not come because the people of God were not praying as they ought to have been praying for it. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it but I found none. Reading Ezekiel 22, verse 30 again. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. In Ezekiel, we see that God was looking for intercessors who would pray for the land so the judgment might be avoided. But he didn't find a single prayer warrior who was praying for Israel. So judgment came upon the nation. Also, prayerlessness by the people of God can result in followers of Christ becoming spiritually dull. In other words, when the people of God neglect praying, we are not as spiritually alert as we should be, and we are not as sensitive to the voice and actions of the Holy Spirit as we should be. Finally, when the people of God don't pray as we should, we can miss what God is saying or doing in a given season or situation. Whereas, on the other hand, living a prayer-filled life can help followers of the Lord to be very sensitive and alert to God and the things of God and what God is doing in a given situation. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that wise men came from the east looking for the King of the Jews. It's apparent that the wise men knew God, listened to him, and were very sensitive to him. The wise men saw the star and knew what it meant. Apparently, they were men of prayer, and the Spirit of God had let them know a number of important truths that many other persons of that time didn't know or they had missed. They saw the star as probably anyone else during that time could. Yet because they were close to God and listening to him, they knew what the star meant. They knew that it was pointing them to the King of the Jews. So again, it was an indication that they were people of prayer. Sadly, people who they talked to and interacted with in Jerusalem could see the star too. Yet the scripture does not say that a single person followed them to go and find the Messiah. How tragic it is that it seems so many in Israel were spiritually insensitive to what God was doing in that given situation. Now, Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, who were people of prayer, they didn't miss their Messiah. They both saw and recognized him and were excited to see him. Why? Again, a prayer-filled life helps you hear the Holy Spirit's voice much more clearly and to sense him at work more so than if we didn't live a life filled with prayer. Israel had been looking for their Messiah for centuries, yet sadly, many in Israel missed him when he came. Prayerlessness can cause each of us to miss out on so much in life. Please don't allow prayerlessness to define your life or your prayer life. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. Again, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you a copy of the article. Again, that title, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. My email, joseph@afr.net. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those that we've prayed for today. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us, and thank you for our prayer lives. Thank you for each of us in our prayer lives, Lord. Bless each of us indeed. Expand our territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. And Lord, set your church on fire with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be. Help us to know as men and women of God, as fathers and mothers, as believers in the body of Christ, help us to know that living life filled with prayer is a productive life that can help us to accomplish so much in your kingdom on a daily basis. Thank you for the opportunity to pray every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back with reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Life is just too hard. Day by day, without fail, I'm finding everything I need. And everything that you are to me.
Music of Big Daddy Weave with Every Time I Breathe. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament, the book of Job, Job chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Then Job spoke again. I've heard all this before. What miserable comforters you are. Won't you ever stop blowing hot air? What makes you keep on talking? I could say the same things if you were in my place. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. But if it were me, I would encourage you. I would try to take away your grief. Instead, I suffer if I defend myself, and I suffer no less if I refuse to speak. Oh God, you have ground me down and devastated my family. As if to prove I have sinned, you reduced me to skin and bones. My gaunt flesh testifies against me. God hates me and angrily tears me apart. He snaps his teeth at me and pierces me with his eyes. People jeer and laugh at me. They slap my cheek in contempt. A mob gathers against me. God has handed me over to sinners. He has tossed me into the hands of the wicked. I was living quietly until he shattered me. He took me by the neck and broke me in pieces. Then he set me up as his target, and now his archers surround me. His arrows pierce me without mercy. The ground is wet with my blood. Again and again he smashes against me, charging at me like a warrior. I wear burlap to show my grief. My pride lies in the dust. My eyes are red with weeping. Dark shadows circle my eyes. Yet I have done no wrong, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not conceal my blood. Let it cry out on my behalf. Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me, but I pour out my tears to God. I need someone to mediate between God and me, as a person mediates between friends. For soon I must go down that road from which I will never return. Job chapter 17. My spirit is crushed, and my life is nearly snuffed out. The grave is ready to receive me. I am surrounded by mockers. I watch how bitterly they taunt me. You must defend my innocence, O God, since no one else will stand up for me. You have closed their minds to understanding, but do not let them triumph. They betray their friends for their own advantage, so let their children faint with hunger. God has made a mockery of me among the people. They spit in my face. My eyes are swollen with weeping, and I am but a shadow of my former self. The virtuous are horrified when they see me. The innocent rise up against the ungodly. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. As for all of you, come back with a better argument, though I still won't find a wise man among you. My days are over. My hopes have disappeared. My heart's desires are broken. These men say that night is day. They claim that the darkness is light. What if I go to the grave and make my bed in darkness? What if I call the grave my father, and the maggot my mother or my sister? Where then is my hope? Can anyone find it? No, my hope will go down with me to the grave. We will rest together in the dust. Job chapter 18. Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, "How long before you stop talking? Speak sense if you want us to answer. Do you think we are mere animals? Do you think we are stupid? You may tear out your hair in anger, but will that destroy the earth? Will it make the rocks tremble? Surely the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. The sparks of their fire will not glow. The light in their tent will grow dark. The lamp hanging above them will be quenched. The confident stride of the wicked will be shortened. Their own schemes will be their downfall. The wicked walk into a net. They fall into a pit. A trap grabs them by the heel. A snare holds them tight. A noose lies hidden on the ground. A rope is stretched across their path. Terrors surround the wicked and trouble them at every step. Hunger depletes their strength, and calamity waits for them to stumble. Disease eats their skin. Death devours their limbs. They are torn from the security of their homes and are brought down to the king of terrors. The homes of the wicked will burn down. Burning sulfur rains on their houses. Their roots will dry up, and their branches will wither. All memory of their existence will fade from the earth. No one will remember their names. They will be thrust from light into darkness, driven from the world. They will have neither children nor grandchildren, nor any survivor in the place where they lived. People in the West are appalled at their fate. People in the East are horrified. They will say, "This was the home of a wicked person, the place of one who rejected God." Job chapter 19. Then Job spoke again. "How long will you torture me? How long will you try to crush me with your words? You have already insulted me 10 times. You should be ashamed of treating me so badly. Even if I have sinned, that is my concern, not yours. You think you're better than I am, using my humiliation as evidence of my sin? But it is God who has wronged me, capturing me in his net. I cry out, 'Help,' but no one answers me. I protest, but there is no justice. God has blocked my way so I cannot move. He has plunged my path into darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed the crown from my head. He has demolished me on every side, and I am finished. He has uprooted my hope like a fallen tree. His fury burns against me. He counts me as an enemy. His troops advance. They build up roads to attack me. They camp all around my tent. My relatives stay far away, and my friends have turned against me. My family is gone, and my close friends have forgotten me. My servants and maids consider me a stranger. I am like a foreigner to them. When I call my servant, he doesn't come. I have to plead with him. My breath is repulsive to my wife. I am rejected by my own family. Even young children despise me. When I stand to speak, they turn their backs on me. My close friends detest me. Those I loved have turned against me. I've been reduced to skin and bones and have escaped death by the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me, my friends, have mercy, for the hand of God has struck me. Must you also persecute me like God does? Haven't you chewed me up enough? Oh, that my words could be recorded. Oh, that they could be inscribed on a monument, carved with an iron chisel and filled with lead, engraved forever in the rock. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And my body, and after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. How dare you go on persecuting me, saying it's his own fault? You should fear punishment yourselves, for your attitude deserves punishment. Then you will know that there is indeed a judgment. Job chapter 20. Then Zophar, the Naamathite, replied, I must reply because I'm greatly disturbed. I've had to endure your insults, but now my spirit prompts me to reply. Don't you realize that from the beginning of time, ever since people were first placed on the earth, the triumph of the wicked has been short-lived, and the joy of the godless has been only temporary? Though the pride of the godless reaches to the heavens and their heads touch the clouds, yet they will vanish forever, thrown away like their own dung. Those who knew them will ask, where are they? They will fade like a dream and not be found. They will vanish like a vision in the night. Those who once saw them will see them no more. Their families will never see them again. Their children will beg from the poor, for they must give back their stolen riches. Though they are young, their bones will lie in the dust. They enjoyed the sweet taste of wickedness, letting it melt under their tongue. They savored it, holding it long in their mouths. But suddenly the food in their bellies turned sour, a poisonous venom in their stomach. They will vomit the wealth they swallowed. God won't let them keep it down. They will suck the poison of cobras. The viper will kill them. They will never again enjoy streams of olive oil or rivers of milk and honey. They will give back everything they worked for. Their wealth will bring them no joy, for they oppressed the poor and left them destitute. They foreclosed on their homes. They were always greedy and never satisfied. Nothing remains of all the things they dreamed about. Nothing is left after they finish gorging themselves. Therefore, their prosperity will not endure. In the midst of plenty, they will run into trouble and be overcome by misery. May God give them a belly full of trouble. May God rain down his anger upon them. When they try to escape an iron weapon, a bronze-tipped arrow will pierce them. The arrow is pulled from their back, and the arrowhead glistens with blood. The terrors of death are upon them. Their treasures will be thrown into deepest darkness. A wildfire will devour their goods, consuming all they have left. The heavens will reveal their guilt, and the earth will testify against them. A flood will sweep away their house. God's anger will descend on them in torrents. This is the reward that God gives the wicked. It's the inheritance decreed by God. End of Job chapter 20. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. Father, anoint each and every one of our prayer lives and our study of your Word with a fresh anointing today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back. Music of Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. "Wherever you go," he said, "stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Herod Antipas, the king, soon heard about Jesus because everyone was talking about him. Some were saying, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he can do such miracles. Others said, "He's the prophet Elijah." Still others said, "He's a prophet like the other great prophets of the past." When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, "John, the man I beheaded, has come back from the dead." For Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. John had been telling Herod, it is against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias bore a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless, for Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him. Herodias' chance finally came on Herod's birthday. He gave a party for his high government officials, army officers, and the leading citizens of Galilee. When his daughter, also named Herodias, came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased Herod and his guests. "Ask me for anything you like," the king said to the girl, "and I will give it to you." He even vowed, "I will give you whatever you ask, up to half my kingdom." She went out and asked her mother, "What should I ask for?" Her mother told her, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." So the girl hurried back to the king and told him, "I want the head of John the Baptist right now on a tray." Then the king deeply regretted what he had said. But because of the vows he had made in front of his guests, he couldn't refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and bring it to him. The soldier beheaded John in the prison and brought his head on a tray and gave it to the girl, who took it to her mother. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came to get his body and buried it in a tomb. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their ears were too hard to take it in. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the whole area, carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplace. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. The end of Mark chapter 6. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful blessing and privilege of being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you today and every day. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to spend more and more time reading and meditating on your word, more time praying your word back to you, and more time praying and just talking with you, communing with you, receiving our marching orders as kingdom warriors to go forth to carry out your word. Stir us more and more to be the faithful hearers and doers of your word you've called us to be. Thank you for all the believers we've lifted up in prayer, and thank you for all those that are part of our listening family. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, "You are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today's a great day to be saved. If you want to make that step, would you pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. My email, again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please get in touch. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier entitled The Tragedy of Prayerlessness, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.